Guilt is never intended to make us miserable. Its purpose is to lead us to reconcile the wrong and to have peace. It is reported that Sir Arthur Conan Doyle sent an unsigned telegram to 12 famous people. It read, "Flee at once. All is discovered." Such guilt rested upon those 12 famous men that all of them were gone within 24 hours. Now, I'm not sure if that incident actually occurred, but it does illustrate a basic truth. No one is completely innocent. Each of us has something in our background, some skeleton in the closet, which we remember. The person who has not dealt correctly with that situation will carry a burden of guilt that is so heavy and so painful that he cannot live in peace. The noted psychologist Dr. Paul Tournier said, "There is no worse suffering than a guilty conscience, and certainly none more harmful." It is commonly recognized that guilt is the number one cause of emotional, mental, spiritual disorders, and even of many physical sicknesses. A psychiatrist told me in confidence that over one half of his patients would have no need for his services if they could learn how to handle guilt. Well, the Bible speaks a great deal on the subject of guilt, what it is, why it comes, and how to deal with it. And therefore, I have chosen to share with you this study on getting over the guilt trip. First, a word of definition. What is guilt? Now, your dictionary may define guilt as the feeling of failure toward someone or something outside myself, the act or state of having done wrong or committed an offense, wrongdoing. Robert Barrett says that guilt is the cutting edge of conscience which is called into action by the dissonance that exists between one's behavior and one's values. Now, do those definitions have meaning to you? Well, for our present purpose, it is well to define guilt in biblical terms. Guilt is the individual's response to having violated God's holiness. It means a person deserves punishment, that he is obligated to render satisfaction to God's justice for self-determined violation of God's law. It means one has not met the requirements of God's righteousness. He has sinned and come short of the glory of God. He deserves punishment as a result of that sin and falling short. Now, that condition between his doing the wrong and his being reconciled to God is the state of guilt. You have experienced that, haven't you? I have. There are various kinds of guilt, of course. Not all offenses are against God. Guilt can come from social and civic offenses, the same as from religious errors. But the way each is dealt with is very different. Social guilt comes by the violation of some accepted standard of proper social behavior. Suppose you were at a dinner party with people you consider to be very important, and suppose you picked up your tea glass, it slipped, and you spill tea over the expensive evening gown of your hostess. How embarrassing. You would remember that for a long time afterward. You would feel guilty, condemned, rejected because of your inexcusable blunder. You may wish never to see that person again or any of the others who witnessed the embarrassing incident. You would probably not expect to be invited to another such dinner. You would condemn yourself in your own mind for your carelessness, and you would apologize profusely to your hostess. Now, that experience of guilt upon violation of some accepted standard of proper social behavior is what we call social guilt. Civic guilt comes by breaking a law of the nation in which you live. It might be cheating on the income tax report to the Internal Revenue Service. If a person does that, he feels dread when a letter comes bearing the mark of that branch of the government, even if it is an envelope with a refund check inside. That is the function of guilt, to make us feel uncomfortable in doing wrong. Civic guilt may come by breaking a traffic law or engaging in unethical business practices. There's always the nagging realization that one should not have done that wrong or questionable thing. There is always the fear that one may be found out. There is always the dread of having to pay the penalty for the illegal behavior. There is always uneasiness in the presence of one who is related to that area where the misbehavior occurred. that is, the tax official, the peace officer, or the businessman. God knows it is not best that we live in wrongdoing. So He placed in us a standard, which we call conscience, which will accuse or excuse us according to our conduct and motives. Guilt is never intended to make us miserable, though it does. Its purpose is to lead us to reconcile the wrong and to have peace. Theological guilt comes by the violation of some spiritual, moral, or ethical principle which God has established or which He approves. It arises from knowing and refusing to do God's will. The one feeling spiritual guilt is a rebel against the Holy God. We have a word which we commonly apply to all acts or attitudes which are in rebellion against God. We say it is sin. Now, there's so many facets of sinful rebellion against God that there are 120 different words used in the biblical languages to refer to sin. Here is a subject which should be of great concern to each of us. We have already read in Holy Scripture that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Therefore, each of us is guilty before God and deserving of His judgment. The only solution to the problem is to settle the guilt issue and have peace with God. How is that done? In the same way that you clear up social or civic violation. How would you deal with the social offense at the dinner party which I described? You would apologize to the hostess. You would use your napkin to mop up the tea and to remedy the damage done as much as possible. You would take extra care not to do the same thing again. Now that is how you relieve your spiritual guilt of sin before God. You confess that you have sinned against Him. You ask for His forgiveness. You resolve to be strong and extra careful not to commit that offense again. You seek to make restitution to any person who was wronged by your misdeed. You depend on God's grace to forgive and restore you to His favor. You will never have peace with God until you have settled the sin problem with Him. We are sinners by nature and by act. God loves us in spite of our sins and is ready to receive us in mercy and grace if we will ask Him. So carry the burden no longer. Acquaint now yourself with Him and be at peace. Blessed Father, we recognize that we have sinned. There is the witness of the Holy Spirit in our hearts that agrees with testimony of Scripture that we are one of those who has sinned and come short to the glory of God. And Lord, we thank You and praise You for Your redeeming grace by which forgiveness of sin is possible in Jesus. We trust You now to forgive us every sin and to cleanse us in Jesus' name. Amen.